376. Proclaim April 2015 to be Fair Housing Month in Portland.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. And before we begin our presentation this morning, I'll read the proclamation, but I'd like to call up Diane Hess of the Fair Housing Council of Oregon, Housing Director Tracy Manning. Oh, there she is. Okay. And Jason Trombley, the Chair of the Fair Housing Advisory Commission. If you could all come to the table and I'll read the proclamation. Declaring April Fair Housing Month. Whereas our community is committed to equal opportunity and housing choice for all, and whereas the theme of Portland's Fair Housing Month is overcoming and mitigating disparate impacts, along with this year's National Fair Housing Month theme, Fair Housing is Your Right, Use It. And whereas the City of Portland and its partners are working together to combat discrimination, disparate impacts, and other impediments to housing choice, and whereas the City Council adopted Portland's first ever Fair Housing Action Plan in September 2011 and established a Fair Housing Advocacy Committee to oversee its implementation, and whereas the plan calls for a combination of enhanced outreach and education, increased testing and enforcement, an expanded supply of quality, affordable housing options, mitigation of displacement, and increased inter-bureau coordination. And whereas the Portland Housing Bureau is working with landlords and tenants to increase choice for low-income renters citywide, and whereas under federal fair housing laws, Oregon civil rights statutes, and Portland City Code, it is unlawful to discriminate on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, disability, familial status, national origin, marital status, sexual orientation, source of income, military status, gender identity, age over 18, type of occupation, or history as a victim of domestic violence. And whereas Housing and Urban Development Memo of 2001 states, actions to affirmatively further fair housing should further practices of the Fair Housing Act by actively promoting wider housing opportunity for all persons while maintaining a non-discriminatory environment in all aspects of public and private housing markets. And whereas Executive Order 12892, as amended, requires federal agencies to affirmatively further fair housing in their programs and activities. And whereas 2015 marks the 47th anniversary of the signing of Title VIII of the Federal Civil Rights Act, also known as the Federal Fair Housing Act of 1968, and the 27th anniversary of the Fair Housing Act amendments of 1988. Now, therefore, I, Charlie Hales, Mayor of the City of Portland, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim April 2015 to be Fair Housing Month in Portland and encourage all residents to observe this month by joining the effort to promote fair housing for all, because fair housing is your right. Use it. And now I'd like to ask our distinguished panel to provide some testimony. Should we start with Tracy, or you're going to start with Diane?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Diane Hess, Education Director from the Fair Housing Council of Oregon. And April 11th, 1968, 47 years ago, 1 week after the assassination of Dr. King, President Johnson signed the Federal Fair Housing Act, which at that point made it illegal to discriminate based on race, color, national origin, and religion. The history of, and it actually covered both individual acts of discrimination and systemic segregation. So that was in the act right from the beginning. And our history in Portland and Oregon kind of mirrored the nationwide history of discrimination, segregation, and displacement going back to the Oregon Trail. And I think most kids that learn about the Oregon Trail and the Oregon Land Donation Act may not learn that it was for whites only. So starting with that, and our original constitution in Oregon, where it said that African Americans and people of Chinese descent could not purchase any real estate, and it was illegal for African Americans to actually live in the state under that exclusion clause, which is one of the reasons there was not a lot of African American migration to the state until World War II. Here in Portland in 1919, the Portland Board of Realtors Code of Ethics basically said a realtor who sold a home to an African American or an Asian in a white neighborhood, which was considered four blocks of housing where whites lived, would be kicked out of the Board of Realtors. And at that time, an area of north-northeast Portland identified as the Albina neighborhood was the area for African Americans. There was a history of redlining, lack of loans, lack of sidewalk, and other infrastructure repairs. At that time, restrictive covenants became common. So many individual homes and neighborhoods in Portland were restricted to whites only, and even today you can purchase a home and be at the title company signing the paperwork, and there in the deed are this language, which is no longer legally enforceable. The house can only be sold to whites, but African Americans and Asians can live there as domestic servants. So the trend continued in the 20s when the Klan was very big in Oregon, and the legislature passed a bill preventing Oregonians of Japanese descent from purchasing real estate. Long history of displacement, starting with Native Americans in the Oregon Trail. I don't know how many folks know that there was a community of Chinese vegetable farmers near the Multnomah Athletic Club and Providence Park that were displaced by the city in the early 1900s. 3,700 Japanese, two-thirds of them U.S. citizens after Pearl Harbor. The Roma community that lived in the Pearl, displaced by the mayor, Mayor Riley, in 1944, and the Jewish community of South Portland, displaced by urban renewal later in the century. African Americans in Portland were displaced by a series of urban renewal projects in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, Memorial Coliseum, moving I-5, and the planned expansion of Emmanuel Hospital. And during that time, over 1,000 people lost their homes, and many businesses were eliminated. So first, African Americans were restricted to north-northeast Portland, and then after building community, they faced steady displacement, first from these urban renewal projects, and now for about a quarter of a century, gentrification that completely has altered that community and forced many whose families have lived there in the area for generations to move into other areas, primarily East Portland and East County. So looking back to 1968, fair housing rights have continued to evolve since President Johnson signed the act. Women's movement in the 1970s made it illegal to discriminate based on sex. 1988, Fair Housing Amendments Act that Commissioner Salzman mentioned, illegal to discriminate based on disability. Families with children. Here in Oregon before 1988, between 60% and 70% of the rentals were off limits to families with children. And that's when we first had strong enforcement mechanisms. And as the proclamation mentions, over time, Oregon and the city of Portland have expanded the protections. So there's been tremendous progress over the last 47 years, but discrimination and segregation persist. HUD estimates more than 3 million instances a year, and I can say just from the calls that come into our hotline, we had 3,000 calls last year, some of the things we see a lot of. We don't see much anymore of, you know, no Jews allowed or no children allowed, those kinds of things, but we do see a persistent, more subtle discrimination where the landlord might not say they want a Latino family, where they'll say the unit has already been rented. We've seen an increase in harassment of individuals based on protected class and also continuing problems with not only landlords, HOAs, and so on, that are refusing to provide reasonable accommodations for people with disabilities. Racial segregation persists as well nationally and locally. Locally, for example, 75% of our African Americans are living in just 16% of the census tracts. So whether intentional or not, housing policies may have a discriminatory impact or a disparate impact on protected classes. We see this on an ongoing basis in individual situations. For example, in Newport, there was a landlord who refused to rent to anyone who worked in a fish cannery. Unlike Portland, occupation is not protected in Newport, but we found more than 90% of the folks working in fish canneries there were Latino. So whether it was intentional or not, that policy had a disparate impact. Or a large apartment complex that says no tricycles anywhere in this community. They're not directly saying no families with children. So intentional or not, that falls under housing discrimination, and it's not just the individual acts, but systemic acts as well. We deal around the state with communities that don't want low-income housing, don't want group homes for people with disabilities that clearly have a disparate impact. Here in Portland, we still have that legacy of urban renewal and gentrification that has obviously had a disparate impact on the African-American community. And as the proclamation says, jurisdictions have the responsibility to affirmatively further fair housing, and that means using a fair housing lens in planning, code enforcement, allocation and resources, and really all aspects of housing and community development. And Tracy Manning and Jason Trombley are going to address Portland's fair housing efforts.
Thank you, Diane. Good morning. Happy Fair Housing Month. So now the good news. We as a community have for years partnered with our neighboring jurisdictions, Multnomah County, City of Gresham, some of our great community organizations, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, the State Bureau of Labor Industries. Thank you. to really try to impact people's ability to live where they choose to live. And I think some of the things that Diane cited, there's a real growing awareness that it's not okay to that people can't access the communities they want to live in. And if you look at City of Portland and your housing policy as it's evolved over time, we've spent more and more time really focusing on the opportunities that people have based on where they live. So while it is true that our history of racial segregation is both present, it's also changing, and that whether that segregation is present because of discrimination or unintended consequences, our intention has the capacity to impact those problems. And so Diane shared the history of North and Northeast Portland. It's a great example of where recent council action has directed us to impact the access of people to fair housing. So while in those neighborhoods, the percentage of African Americans has been reduced by half since 1990, and those community members do still feel at risk of displacement because in part of council action, and also because of the City of Portland's Fair Housing Action Plan, which outlines exactly these kinds of actions that we can take to address issues of segregation and displacement, we can have an impact. One example is the funds that you've provided to offer foreclosure assistance, home repair assistance, first-time home buyer assistance. There's a wait list of 100 people. We're going to be able to start chipping away at that. We know these programs work. Based on our current program performance, at least 80% of those assisted will continue to live in their homes 12 months after receiving services. So I think it's important to know and acknowledge our history of how we got where we got. I also want to put in context that our work partnering with Fair Housing Council of Oregon and with our really great community organizations, we have the ability to have an impact. It's not just the list of awfuls. So with that, I'd like to give the floor to Jason Trombley. Jason is the chair of the Fair Housing Advocacy Committee. That's a committee that we share with Multnomah County and the City of Gresham. It includes all kinds of community members who sit at the table together to create a plan to actually change the way our community looks, and I'm deeply grateful for their volunteer time and their intelligence.
Thank you very much, Director Manning, Mayor Hales, members of the council. So first, with regard to FHAC, I wanted to talk about the fair housing assessment. So we're very proud of the work that the City of Portland has, you know, undertaken to address fair housing choice. Every year, we educate a significant number of landlords. For example, over 776 landlords received fair housing education during the annual Bureau of Development Services landlords training. From the training, we can see the awareness of the rights of people with disabilities to have pets at their apartments and an awareness that all landlords in Oregon must take an application regardless of the source of income. The Portland Action Plan also sought to increase fair housing awareness in renters. The national theme is fair housing is your right. Use it. In the annual community needs hearing, we learned from our recent immigrant communities that many do not know their fair housing rights, and until we share the knowledge, they will not know that landlords cannot refuse basic habitability repairs like repairing leaks and broken appliances. There is evidence of the growing awareness in the increase in visits to the Fair Housing Council's website, 13,556 website visits in fiscal year 2014. Also, market conditions are changing in Multnomah County and new populations are arriving. To address the changes, we are creating our next five-year plan for prioritizing spending of federal and local resources in ways that expand housing choice. To prepare the consolidated plan, housing and urban development requires a fair housing assessment. Demographics, segregation, disproportionate housing needs, disparities in access to community assets, and exposure to adverse community factors, disability and access, and fair housing complaint outcomes, fair housing knowledge, and practices that further or hinder fair housing choice in Portland, Gresham, and Multnomah County. Next is disparate impact. The Fair Housing Advocacy Committee is focused on disparate impact because we are hearing from the community about the impact of displacement. There is a lot of stake in the national conversation about fair housing. In a recent Supreme Court case of the Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs versus the Inclusive Communities, a decision in favor of the state of Texas could potentially weaken the Fair Housing Act by not recognizing disparate impacts as a condition of discrimination, and thus reopens the door to housing policies and practices that excludes people on the basis of their race, color, national origin, gender, religion, disability, or family status. A decision in favor of inclusive communities could complicate how and where public dollars are spent if they are made in places of poverty. Regardless of which direction the decision goes, it should not weaken our city's resolve to actively prevent, overcome, and mitigate disparate impacts in Portland. We need to do both, invest in low-income communities and invest in high-opportunity areas in ways that increase access for low-income families and communities of color and other protected classes. And third, which I think is the most exciting part of the morning, which is our Fair Housing Poster Contest. Today, we are honoring two students from the statewide Fair Housing Council of Oregon Fair Housing Poster Contest. Both won third place in their respective age groups. The students are Jasmine Bonahan from Gresham Valley Elementary and Morgana Cartwright from Southwest Charter School. She could not be here today because she's attending outdoor school. So Morgana is from Southwest Charter School, won third place in the 4-5 category. Again, she couldn't be here because of outdoor school, but we still wanted to acknowledge the efforts of Morgana and her school. The Fair Housing Council of Oregon has been working with the Southwest Charter School for several years now. They did an amazing comic book on the housing discrimination and the local history of Portland. You can take a look at the copy on display at the table today. And lastly is Jasmine from Powell Valley Elementary School, the third place winner in the first to third grade category. Jasmine has family here and in the Philippines. She excels in gymnastics at Northwest Gymnastics Training Center. She's won multiple trophies and medals at every meet this season and recently was asked to join their Junior Olympics team, which she began on April 2nd. And so very quickly, I'd like to invite Jasmine to come up and share a few words about her poster.
Great. Good morning.
Which of the two is hers?
The top one? Great.
It's okay.
Welcome. Don't be nervous. We're really happy to hear you talk about your poster. How'd you get the idea? Did you change your idea as you worked on it? Tell us more about it.
Well, I just thought about it, and I was just thinking, and I was doing the poster for fun. I didn't know if I was going to win. I was just thinking of doing it for fun. And I just thought of it, and then I just started drawing houses, and then it all just started coming to me.
Where do you go to school, honey?
Powell Valley Elementary School.
Excellent. I like how you included a lot of trees in your poster. We're a city that loves trees and loves our parks, so a bunch of us up here noticed that, I think, in particular.
Do you have
anyone? We'd love to take a picture with you in your poster, too.
Yeah, we want to do that, too.
Do you have anybody with you today from your family or friends?
I have my mom and dad and my sister.
Let's give them a round of applause.
Thank you.
Well, great. Well, why don't we have a picture?
Dan, can I just make one comment? Today is actually the day that the arts tax is due.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
The arts tax is has allowed us to have 70 arts teachers in schools throughout Portland serving 30,000 children. And as we look at your beautiful poster, we're reminded of how important it is to have art as part of the normal curriculum. And you obviously have a lot of talent. And by putting all the trees in there, I know you warm Commissioner Fritz's heart. So
she's the Parks Commissioner.
Well, why don't we get the posters
please.
Up there and
yeah.
picture, and family members are welcome to join us.
Guru Kim McCarty.
I was going to
pass them out. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, we get to put one
Dan has already out. Taken all the posters.
We have to argue with him about that.
Yeah, well,
we have time. I'll make sure everybody gets one.
Okay. Yeah, do we have time for a couple questions?
We sure do.
Let me kick it off by asking Diane. The last 2 weeks, we all saw full-page ads in local newspapers declaring the commitment of the private landlord community to observing fair housing laws. Two questions. How did that come about? And I don't remember ever seeing full-page ads in newspapers signed by Multifamily Northwest and other industry leaders making explicit commitments during this week. So could you give us the backstory?
Sure. I would say, well, there are a number of different organizations that represent landlords and property management companies. Multifamily Northwest, we've had a growing partnership with. We've always done trainings, but they now have a fair housing committee, and they actually just had a fair housing fair for property managers that hundreds of people came to. So that is an emphasis, both education and outreach. And a great thing is they're doing more and more of this, not just in the Portland metro area, but other areas of the state. So this is the first year they did the full-page ad, and I think a lot of it is that they have this activist committee. We're actually next Friday doing one of our fair housing bus tours for their members, and I know we have a waiting list. So there's obviously a increased level of consciousness. I will say one of the challenges is that there are so many landlords that are not affiliated with an organization like that, and that would be great. Actually, I think it would be great, I'm just going to throw this out there, if right at the point people purchased rental property, either licensing or at least a requirement to take a test or something like that, which they do have in other states and jurisdictions and other parts of the country. I mean, one of the things we try to do is give information on an informal basis to realtors, to title companies, to give it to these folks so they don't find out they did something wrong at the point that the Bureau of Labor and Industries has a complaint against them. But it's a great thing how multifamily, how the industry, and other industry groups are too, are really affirmatively making efforts to educate their folks to get a real understanding of fair housing. And we hope that we can get more of the individual mom-and-pop landlords hooked into that.
Other questions?
Anything else? I want to thank our panelists, and today our actions, you know, restate our commitment to housing choice and affirm that we hold ourselves to a higher standard. So thank you all for being here today.
Commissioner, I'd like to bring up a fairness issue. I think that it is grossly unfair, and I made this clear to her, that Tracy Manning is planning to leave. And I want to let her know that I've asked the city attorney if we have authority to draft her and compel her to remain in her current position.
Thank you, Commissioner. I appreciated your email.
Thank you very much.
Well, she's going out with a bang. She'll be here several times more this month again before we're done.
We won't let her off that easy.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Thanks, Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you.
So.